leaders, the White House and America's banks, in knots over nationalisation. State control of some banks is sadly unavoidable. Don't run away from it. Focus on doing it well.
There is a whiff of Alice in Wonderland about the arguments over America's banks. Voices on the free market right, including Alan Greenspan, a former chairman of the Federal Reserve, and a clutch of Republican senators, suggest that temporary nationalisation may be best for the most troubled big banks. Rather than drip-feeding public support, they argue, the state should take over those banks that have all but failed, clean up their balance sheets, and then quickly sell them. Meanwhile, the Democratic Obama administration considers nationalisation taboo. The White House's plans involve injecting more public funds into the biggest banks if new stress tests suggest they need it. Addressing Congress on February 24th, Mr. Obama made clear that taxpayers would probably have to find more cash. But nobody will admit that this could lead to public control, let alone explain how control would work. This week, both Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, and Ben Bernanke, the Fed Chairman, publicly dismissed nationalisation, saying it wasn't necessary. Unfortunately, that is a false hope. A strategy geared to avoiding outright government control will not work as well as one that is honest about what it wants to achieve and how. Nationalisation should not be a goal of policy, but the worsening economy, the scale of likely bank losses, and the bank's lack of capital means that some will survive only with a capital infusion big enough to leave them largely in public hands. Look at Citigroup, which has already been propped up by $45 billion of non-voting capital and guarantees to limit losses on some $300 billion of its worst assets. As The Economist went to press, Citi was on the brink of converting part of the Treasury's aid into a government equity stake as high as 40%. If more capital is needed, as most expect, the Treasury will probably have either to embark on Enron-style creative accounting or to become a majority shareholder. Although the administration is unwilling to admit this, the speculation outside government has been that nationalisation is only a matter of time. That has fed a devastating uncertainty. In the past week, bank stocks have swooned on fears that shareholders in troubled banks will eventually be wiped out. Led by collapsing bank shares, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell to an 11-year low on February 23rd. Although bank shares recovered slightly after Mr. Bernanke's comments, that says more about shareholders' relief at the stay of execution than about a sudden improvement in the bank's prospects. The uncertainty over nationalisation is costly and self-defeating. Several big banks have seen their borrowing costs rise as bondholders fear that they too will suffer in any government restructuring. Weaker share prices and dearer credit will worsen the economy, further weaken banks' loan books, and increase the need for yet more public capital. It is time for America to move beyond sloganeering and denial. Contrary to the glibness with which some proponents advocate it, government control of big banks is not a quick and painless solution to the banking mess. Given the scale of the crisis, the depth of the recession, and the burden of the underlying debt, government involvement in any bank is unlikely to be unwound quickly. Sweden, widely praised for its handling of its early 1990s banking bust, took several years to clean up and privatise the banks it nationalised. Mr. Obama's people are right to worry about the risk of bureaucratic management and political meddling in lending decisions. Yet politicians, including Mr. Obama's team, are already meddling. Congress has imposed sweeping controls on bankers' pay. Banks that receive public capital must already provide regular reports on how much they lend and to whom. Complaints from within Citi suggest that managers are distracted and bewildered by demands from politicians and regulators about day-to-day operations. Mr. Obama this week left little doubt that he wants more oversight. Explicit government ownership would be an improvement over the onerous, fiddly and capricious intervention of today. An arm's-length bank management board would both keep the interferers at bay and also require the public sector to bear the consequences of its meddling on the bank's performance. Rather than an escalation of public control, as government capital is gradually converted into common equity to cover the bank's losses, it would be better to lay out the scale and scope of public ownership as soon as possible. The administration's stress tests may show that some banks need a lot of capital. If the government has to provide it, taking control as it does so in some cases, so be it. If the government becomes the owner, it needs to act as such, selling businesses, breaking them up, and firing managers if needs be. If that happens, shareholders will be heavily diluted, though crucially they will not be wiped out, as investors now fear. It's tempting to suggest that the bondholders of big banks should suffer too, just as they can suffer when small banks fail and are taken over by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Though that would indeed set an example and drastically lower the cost to the public purse, it risks a catastrophic Lehman-style flight from all bank debt. With their noses held, the Obama team should state plainly and clearly, as the Swedish did, that these banks' liabilities will be left whole. The odd thing is that Mr. Obama's fiscal policy has been far clearer. The budget, due to be presented on February 26th, promises to eschew accounting gimmicks, paint an unvarnished picture of America's fiscal future, and to reduce the deficit to 3% of GDP by 2013. It is not perfect. There is too little focus on entitlement or tax reform. But it seems an honest attempt to put the recent stimulus in the context of a plausibly responsible medium-term fiscal path. Laying out the template of bank rescues is harder, but no less important. Unless America's financial system recovers, the economy will remain in a funk, and Mr. Obama's budget goals will turn out to be as elusive as the world beyond the looking glass.